But Pastor Chris said a few minutes. So as a man under authority, I promise I will be a few minutes. I prompted one or two people if I'm going on too long to start coughing and waving their watch at me. That doesn't mean everybody. That just means the designated few. Baptismal candidates, I don't want to worry you, but I was here this afternoon when they opened the baptismal tank up, and as I was standing here, the periscope of a submarine came up. It gets worse, it's Pastor Chris's birthday today, it really is, and he got, give him a big round of applause. And his wife Annie bought him a frogman suit for his birthday, and he's going to use it. Tanks, flippers, snorkel, everything. He's going to be in there tonight. But this is the baptismal candidates. This is the really worrying thing. I heard the worship band practicing the song that they're going to play when you're going in and out of the pool, and it was the Jaws theme tune. So just be ready for that. I've got a message tonight that is going to be short and sweet, and I believe it's going to be a message for three types of people. And if you don't fit into this one of these three, then I've got things seriously wrong tonight. It's a message that I believe is going to speak to those of us that are Christians already. And I guess there's a lot of us in here in that category tonight. It's also going to speak to those of us who are Christians who haven't been baptized yet. So you guys in the front, you can be in that category for the next 5 minutes and then jump into the first category after that. Not literally jump, just walk down. But also, I believe this is a message tonight for those of us that perhaps don't normally come to church, that are here as invited guests or visitors. We wouldn't say that we're Christians, but I guess the reason that we're here means that there's something significant enough about tonight that we want to know a little bit more. So if you don't fit into those categories, then just close your eyes, nod off, don't snore. But I'm sure that I've got a word from God for all of us here tonight. I want to read to you from the Acts of the Apostles. It's a book towards the end of the New Testament. And it's a book that talks about the life of the early church. What's going on when Jesus has died on the cross, he's risen again, he's ascended into heaven, and the early church's first followers are beginning to spread the news of Christianity and the life of Jesus all around the place. And this is a story from Acts chapter 8 about a man called Philip. And he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Not a man from Eritrea, but a man from Ethiopia. This is what it says. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he did. And he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I, when there's no one to instruct me?" And he begged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he'd be reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Was Isaiah talking about himself or someone else?" So Philip began with the same scripture and then used many others to tell him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down from the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, this is a fascinating story. Philip has been a very successful preacher in a part of the world called Samaria. He's been preaching and teaching. He's seen conversions. He's seen miracles. He's been baptizing many people. But God's prompted him to go somewhere else. And that's important for those of us that are Christians, that notion of being available, taking the initiative, ready to go. You know, God has a habit of bringing people into his kingdom through the hands and the mouths of other people. We've heard that in some of the stories tonight where some of the baptismal candidates have said about the importance of friendship, bringing them to this place. And throughout history, God has a habit of bringing men and women to himself through other ordinary men and women. And we just need that sense of availability and obedience and willingness to go, just like Philip. And who knows who God could speak to through us. And as he talks with this man, he's tactful, he's understanding, he's gracious, but he's decisive as well. And he's not afraid of sharing a message about Jesus. And then there's the Ethiopian. He's a Gentile convert to Jewish faith. He's a eunuch, an official in a foreign government. In other words, he's got a fairly complicated background. You would imagine that the first detailed story of somebody being baptized into the Christian church in the Bible would be somebody who was a good, upstanding, middle-class, honorable Jew. You know, with no background, no baggage. But that's not the case. A little bit later on in Acts the Apostles, the Apostle Peter has his big vision about how men and women from every tribe and every tongue and every nation are going to come to faith in Jesus. But this is even before this. And sometimes, perhaps you were a visitor here, you're expecting that to become a Christian, to be baptized, you've got to have everything sorted out. You've got to have led a clean, pure life up to this point. And some of the candidates tonight have been honest enough to say, well, actually, that's not my experience. In fact, I'm here because my experience is exactly the opposite to that. And the baptismal water tonight doesn't make these people Christians. It does symbolize their new faith. It symbolizes the death and new life of Christ, but it also symbolizes cleansing. And here was a man who had a confused background. He was a high-ranking official, but certainly there was some confusion about his life. But he was a seeker. He wanted to know more. And Philip was able to respond to that. This man's looking for meaning. And quite sensibly, he goes to the scripture. He goes to the Bible, the Old Testament. And what I think is so exciting about this story is that this is an educated, learned man, an official, but he's not embarrassed to ask for help. And how many of us get to that desperate, desperate place in life before we're brave enough to say to somebody, I don't quite know what's going on here. Could you help me? Can you give me some advice? Some of the people are nodding here because they've got friends who've been that type of person to them. But you know, somebody said, if you're a drowning man, and I hope we're not going to see any of that tonight, but if you're a drowning man, you're not afraid to shout for help. In fact, you're not afraid to make a complete fool, an idiot of yourself, because you want to survive. And if you're here tonight, and you are seeking, you know there's something more to life than what you've got at the moment, and you're just guessing that these people have discovered that, then don't be afraid to ask questions. There's plenty of good people here who will help you answer them. Don't be afraid, as most of us do in this place, to turn to this book and believe that God is going to answer our questions and give us guidance through this. And that's where this eunuch started, and that's what Philip was able to talk to him about. Telling him the good news, it's a passage from Isaiah. And it helps us understand the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And that's so important because Philip realizes that without the cross of Jesus, there is no new life. Without the cross of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, there is no cleansing. Without the death of Jesus and Jesus coming back to life, there is no point in baptism. Without a crucified Christ, there's no Saviour. Without a Saviour, there's no new life. If there's no new life, then what's the point of being baptised? And so Philip realises that it's all about Jesus and Jesus Christ crucified. And most importantly, these men and women who are being baptised tonight aren't just standing testimony to what they've done in their own lives or what some distant God has done in their lives. they know Jesus, the Son of God, as their Lord, as their Saviour, as their friend. And they believe that he died on a cross to save their sins. And that tonight this baptism is symbolizing the very same new life that he experienced and that he wants to give them. And right at the end of this encounter, the Ethiopian says these incredible words. Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He's obviously believing in faith everything that Philip has told him. And he's ready not just to believe but to accept. It's a simple statement of faith, if you like. That's what he's making. And I wonder tonight, you know, there wasn't a big crowd gathered around there. There was only Philip. He was the only witness. But I wonder tonight how you're going to respond to that incredible encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian. So if you're a Christian here, it shows how important it is to help other people find faith in Jesus. And without some of the folks sitting in the congregation tonight, some of these people wouldn't be there. And that's an encouragement and a challenge for us all. Willingness to step out of our comfort zone into the lives of others, to be bold. What if Martin had never said to Spiro and Naomi, well, why don't you come to church? You've got nothing to lose. That's a great opening line, isn't it? I'm going to write that one down. They wouldn't be sitting there now. God has a habit of breaking into people's lives through willing Christians who are ready to step out and speak a few words. Those of you who aren't yet Christians, this shows the importance of seeking, of asking questions, of seeing something in somebody else's life and believing that they've got something that you need to discover. And not to be embarrassed to say, could you tell me about this person you call Jesus? Could you tell me what God's done in your life? I've been reading this passage in the Bible. I don't understand it. Could you tell me that? So if you're a visitor here tonight and you've never read the Bible, I'm sure we've got Bibles here you could read. We've certainly got people you can speak to. And what about Christians who haven't yet been baptized? Well, this passage simply says that being obedient and getting baptized leads to joy and rejoicing. And tonight is a joyful night. The next 5 or 10 minutes is going to be a very joyful occasion. And there might be some of you who are like Kate, who've been here for 85 years. No, it just feels like that for her sometimes. And you might have never thought, this is the time I need to be baptized. You might have put it off and put it off and put it off. I want to say to you that this church regularly has baptismal services. And if tonight you feel encouraged and challenged by what you've been hearing from these people, then I'm going to say to you that same question. Why can't you be baptized? Not tonight. But why can't you be baptized the next time we have a baptismal service? What's preventing you from being baptized? What's preventing you from experiencing the joy and the thrill that these candidates are going to be experiencing? So I'm going to pray together for a moment. And I'm particularly going to pray for each of those three groups. So let's bow our heads right now. Father, this is a story that we've read that's thousands of years old from the Bible. But the testimonies we've heard tonight are testimonies that are stories of what you're doing in people's lives right now. And we thank you for that. First of all, for those of us who are Christians in this place tonight, we want to thank you for the witness of faithful friends into the lives of these baptismal candidates. That's an inspiration and an encouragement and a challenge to us. And Father, we would pray that we would be like Philip in that Bible story, sensitive to your leading, willing to speak into people's lives, willing to help them discover who you are, and pointing them to Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, if we're Christians here tonight and we've never taken the plunge into the baptismal pool, We pray that tonight you would push away every barrier, every fear, every reason that we've convinced ourselves why we shouldn't be baptized. And that over the coming weeks we'll be bold enough to speak to the leadership here and say, why can't I be baptized? Because I want to experience the thrill and the joy and the rejoicing of that symbolic act. And Father, if we're visitors here tonight, if we wouldn't call ourselves Christians, but we associate with that Ethiopian who wanted to know more, pray right now that you would speak to us through our friends, through your word in the Bible. We pray that we would be bold and not embarrassed about discovering eternal life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're a visitor here tonight, if you're a seeker, if you're somebody who'd like to discover more about Jesus, in fact, if you're ready to put your faith and trust in him right now, I'm going to say a short prayer. You can say it after me. Just don't need to say it out loud, just say it in your heart and Jesus will hear you. Jesus, I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you love me. That you died on a cross so that my sins could be forgiven and so that I need never be separated from God. I believe that you rose again to new life. And as I've heard these men and women speaking about that new life, that new start, that joy and that cleansing, I ask that you would bring that into my life now. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Still with every eye closed and every head bowed. I wonder if there's anybody here who just wants to indicate to me by a quick wave of their hand that they prayed that prayer. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'll be delighted at the end of the service, before we go and have a tea and coffee together, if you did put your hand up then, if you just want to come and see me at the front, we'll give you some literature. We'd love to pray for you. And we expect to see you in a baptismal service in the near future. And so, Father, we finally pray for these candidates. We thank you that you are a God who's at work. And we want to join in this celebration and this joyous occasion with them now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.